Cod, good morning.
Good morning.
So, Con, Scott Morrison has said that he wants all the children to be off Nauru by the end of the year. How realistic do you think that is?
I think it's really important to say a couple of things, first of all, which is Scott Morrison has done everything he can to not get kids off Nauru. If he actually wanted them all off Nauru, they could be here today. I mean, today. The only thing actually getting in the way of that is Scott Morrison. It's probably also really important to know that of the 244 children that are in Australia that have been gradually brought here over the last 5 years after being made so sick on Nauru, only 24 of those children were actually voluntarily brought by the government. Even today, the Australian government is in the federal court arguing a test case against the child that they should not be allowed, the court should not be allowed to medically transfer sick children to Australia. So, again, I can't stress enough, they could all be here tomorrow. They could all be here today. In fact, 41 families have been moved since the 15th of October, 135 people. But of those 41 families, 29 of them still required the intervention of the court.
Yeah, I've also got some numbers on that. 135 people have been brought to Australia since October. But yeah, as you said, 49 were removed by the government. Only 49 were removed by the government without court intervention.
Yeah.
Now, your organisation works to help people get off Nauru and Manus Island through the federal court. How much will do you think the government has on getting the children off the islands?
Look, it has none. And look, the important thing to understand is what you know that is happening now, that is kids that are self-harming. One of the four kids still on there are suicidal, kids that aren't eating, sleeping, talking. You know, this is child abuse that is happening, sanctioned by this government. They've left these kids there for 5 years, and we've had to fight tooth and nail with our legal partners and medical partners to get these kids off. And the only thing that's changed now is that the public sentiment has finally changed. We've gone from about 35% of Australians wanting kids brought off Nauru to almost 80% now. And that's the only reason they're acting. It went from being political gold to political poison for them.
And that number has been growing quite slowly, but in recent months, it's really, public opinion has really, really shifted.
Yeah.
What do you put that down to?
Look, it's so many things. You know, there are organisations that have been doing this work for 5 years. So, you know, we also feel like, yeah, this is an overnight success of 5 years in the making. But what you also saw was 6,000 doctors come out. What you also saw was the mainstream media finally take it on. What you saw were all these brave pediatricians and whistleblowers come out. What you saw were more than 200 community charities come together under a singular voice. And what you saw were the amazing crossbench senators. Unfortunately, none of this is thanks to the Liberal Party or thanks to the ALP. What you also saw was some brave Liberal Party backbenchers like Julia Banks, who was the first in Parliament to actually come out calling for kids off Nauru, and people like Andrew Wilkie and Rebecca Sharkey and Adam Band and Karen Phelps, who made this an election issue. So it's really a team effort, and it's been, even having the Wiggles come out and Jimmy Barnes come out, like, you had even people on the Today Show, Neil Mitchell, starting to say, why are we locking kids up? You know, once you start seeing the Murdoch and the mainstream media shift, because they're finally actually understanding the gravity of what's being done, or choosing to finally understand the gravity. Like, nothing you're hearing now, we weren't saying 5 years ago, 4 years ago, or 3 years ago. But finally, it's got momentum. But we've been saying the same thing for 5 years. So part of me feels devastated because some of these kids are so traumatized, they'll probably never recover from this. And we will need another national apology at some point. But at the same time, thank God we're getting traction. But we need to be careful not just to focus on the kids. There are almost 100 families left. There are a couple of hundred single men and women that have been there for 5 years, and there's still over 600 men on Manus Island.
Yeah.
And so the job's not done until they're all off both those camps.
And that goes to my next question. Everyone's talking about children at the moment, but obviously, as you just said, there are a lot of other people on the island. Do you think there's a chance that once all the children are off, the conversation might end and all those other people might have to stay there?
And look, this is one of the great fears, like, especially when I talk to the men on Manus Island, one of the great fears the men on Manus Island have is exactly that this will happen. And we've given them our word that we will not let this happen, that we will keep this front and center. The conversations we're having with a lot of the crossbench is the importance of remembering the adults and remembering the men. And there's an appetite for the crossbench to keep fighting for everyone that's on these islands, and I think there's an appetite and concern in the Australian public to do so. But that's on us together to make sure that we don't. The reason we've had to focus on the kids to begin with is you must put the welfare of children first. You just have to. Like, you have to protect children first. But once those kids are safe, we then need to move all our energy to the adults and all our energy to those single men on Manus. Because the men on Manus, I'm talking to men on Manus who are at the moment going blind on Manus Island through sheer medical neglect. So it is critical there as well. And a lot of those men are in great danger of suicide, self-harm, or dying because of the appalling conditions upon which they're kept in.
Just finally, talking about Manus, a lot of the conversation, especially this week, has been about Nauru. Why do you think we're focusing on Nauru and not talking about Manus Island at the same time?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think honestly, you know, if I'm really frank with you, it probably comes from a strategy point of view, which is it's so hard to get the Australian public to focus on one issue in a cohesive way with real momentum. And if we were honestly trying to do both to the same scale, each would dilute the other, and you'd end up not getting great traction on either. I know that sounds tough, but that's actually the truth. And we know that because we've tried doing both for 5 years. It doesn't work. It's like it's hard enough to get them to focus once on one group. But we haven't stopped, for example, as an organization, working with the men on Manus, trying to get the men on Manus off there. And I can't stress enough, the most important thing we've promised the men, like we've grown our detention advocacy program, you know, the program that works with lawyers to get them off, from one full-time staff member to four, it's about to grow to seven. And one of the things I've been saying to the men is once the kids are off, we're not cutting a single staff member from that program. Those seven people, their entire job will be focusing on getting those men off. So sometimes you've just got to be, as hard as it is, you've got to be strategic and put your energy where you can win. And then once you won that, put your energy where you next need to win and just keep going. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's sometimes the reality of what you have to do.
Well, in the lead up to the next federal election, I guess we'll see how it goes and how public opinion continues to shift if it does. Con, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you.